Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. That is 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today wears many hats. She's an adoptive mom. She manages communications and new development at Project 143. And she is the National Director for Orphan Sunday. Welcome, Michelle Vernon.
Thank you, Sandra.
It's an honor to have you on the show, and we're going to talk about all those different hats that you wear, but let's kind of start with that first one. You and your husband, John, have four children through adoption. Let me see if I can get them straight. Ryan, who is 24, was adopted from Latvia. Nick is 19, also from Latvia. Isaiah is presently 22, and he came through you through foster care to your family. And Olivia, your 8-year-old daughter, was adopted from China. So clearly you have a heart for the orphan. Where did that begin, Michelle?
You know, the beginning is a really neat sort of beauty from ashes story. And in 2006, I actually was finally pregnant. My husband and I had hoped to start a family in what everybody would consider the traditional way. And I had looked into a mission trip to China before that, and I thought, well, maybe that's something I would do. And then I got pregnant, and I thought, well, there's the closed door on that, right? And within a couple of months, I did lose that pregnancy to miscarriage. And my husband, rather bravely, after a few weeks, said, you know, you were considering that mission trip to China. What if you reconsider it? And at the time, I thought he was crazy. But after some prayer, I definitely got affirmation to take that trip to China, and that was my first trip into orphanages, and that was in the summer of 2006. And really, that short-term mission trip to China is what broke my heart and opened my heart for the orphan.
Yeah, it opened your heart for the orphan, which led you to begin hosting orphans in your home. So tell us about that.
Yes. So, you know, what was really interesting about that short-term mission trip is each day when we would head to the orphanage, they would ask us, you know, which group do you want to work with? And I felt that I would naturally be drawn, of course, to the babies and toddlers, especially coming out of a recent miscarriage. And so I opted to not say where they should put me each day and just to see where, based on their decision, I would land. And the interesting thing about that is I spent a lot of time with the older orphans and the special needs orphans. And so when I came home from that trip, in a unique way, my heart was burdened for the children who were 6 and older, or the child who was 12 and perfectly healthy, or the 3-year-old with clubfoot. And that fall, after praying and saying, you know, what I believe should come out of every short-term mission trip, saying, okay, God, what is that? You know, what is that meant to do in my life? Where are you taking me now that I have that information? And that led me into hosting. I found out about hosting, and hosting targets international children in orphanages, and it mirrors what God had used to sort of break my heart. It's the child who's 6, 8, 10, 12, and healthy, or maybe 5 or 6 years old and has a special need. Or in the case of Europe, for instance, a sibling set, which you don't run into that in China so much, but certainly in other countries, sibling sets are difficult to place. And so that hosting sort of met the need out of that short-term mission trip. So now what do I do from here, God? You've shown me this. Now what do I do from here? And hosting was like the next segue out of that trip that sort of answered that question of how to meet the needs of those kids.
And so you hosted over the summer of 2007, a 12-year-old boy, I believe.
Yes.
And then you hosted again Christmas of 2007, and that's when you met a teenage boy, Ryan, came into your home.
Yes.
So tell us how hosting led to adoption.
Well, you know, at that point, a year and a half later, you know, God had done a lot of work in my heart, certainly in my husband's heart, and all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a place where we had open hands, and we said, okay, God, however you want to build this family, however you want to bring children into our family, we relinquish that control. We release that to you. And so we knew walking into the world of hosting that, again, maybe not the traditional way to start a family, but we did. We brought a 13-year-old into our home first. We brought a 14-year-old. We ended up bringing lots of kids into our home to advocate for them. But in Ryan's case, he was 14 years old when he came into our home that Christmas. And again, it just, you know, God has a wonderful way through the Holy Spirit of showing you, you know, this is the child I intend for you to parent. You know, this is the child that I need you to focus in on right now. And so we said yes to that. And after his hosting, of course, the host program is not the adoption agency. So you have to go through traditional adoption, through a traditional adoption agency to do that. But he came home the very next year.
And when children are hosted, they're not promised that it will result in adoption. They're not told that adoption is not even something that you're permitted to really discuss with the child, whether you're feeling led to adopt them or not. But Ryan asked you a very interesting question. He broached the subject with you all. See, now I'm sounding like I'm from Georgia now. See, what did Ryan say?
Yeah, so Ryan was funny. He's never been shy, now we know, to say his wants and needs. And while he was here, of course, you're absolutely right, by the way, we don't speak to the children about adoption. We don't promise them any such thing. Even the host program, when we go to interview the kids, we present this as a vacation from the orphanage. We present this as respite. We present this as the ability to work on their English, as an opportunity to get some dental and eye care that a lot of these kids need. So that is not, you know, that's not on the table. But while he was here, I don't know, it was probably 2 weeks in or so, I guess he just had made himself at home, and he asked us, he said, out of the blue, just no trigger at all on our part, he said, so when you adopt me, what will my new name be?
Well, there you go. He'd made up his mind. Yeah.
Claimed it.
Yeah. So, and you claimed him, you adopted him.
Yes.
And within a short period of time, you adopted from Latvia again. So tell us about Nick coming home.
You know, it was interesting. Ryan was never in a position to have siblings and always wanted siblings. He was very open to that. And anyone who's done an adoption, certainly international adoption, knows typically when you do your home study, you put that extra child or two on there just in case, because you don't know what's going to happen. And so we knew that we were already approved for a second child from Latvia, so our eyes were open. I was working with the host program, volunteering at this point, and going over and interviewing the kids. And it happened to be on that round of interviews, the very last home that we went to was, there sat Nick right when I walked in the door, and the blue eyes and the curly blonde hair and the sweet smile just sort of grabbed me really quickly. And I thought at the time our second one would be a girl, but no, evidently it was another boy.
So you hosted him that summer. Yes. And then you adopted him also.
Yes. Nick was 10 at the time of hosting, and he came home shortly thereafter again, because we'd already been through the process. We had a lot of things already approved for him, and that brought in son number two from Latvia. Yeah.
Wow. Well, and there's a son number three,
yeah,
who didn't come through international adoption, but
no,
domestic through foster care, actually. And I just love this story as well. So tell us about your son, Isaiah, and how he joined your family.
You know, the interesting thing about both Ryan and Nick was that I was the one that came home from those trips overseas and said, okay, John, I've got to tell you about this kid, you know. And the first time, that was me talking about Ryan. And then the second time, that was, okay, I've got to tell you about this kid. Isaiah is different. This was John's term. And John is a high school teacher and a football coach. And in spring practice, he had met a young man, an eighth grader that was coming up to the ninth grade, who played the position that he coached, named Isaiah. And over the course of the summer, he kind of watched him. He realized after a little while that he had lots of different people bringing him to practice or picking him up from practice, lots of different people. It wasn't always the same, you know, typically the same two or three people that you see interact with a child. And finally, in the as we entered the fall and school started, he started asking some questions. And come to find out, Isaiah was in the foster care system and was soon actually going to lose his most recent placement and be placed in our local children's home. That is a DFACS, Department of Family and Children's Services, run children's home. And he came home and told me that, and we looked at it this way. Well, we have one more bedroom open. We already have two boys. Really, what's one more teenage boy when you already have two? Mm-hmm. And really and truly, we went and said, we have this home study from our other two boys. If that's good enough, we'd love to start inviting him to spend time with us in our home and find out what we have to do so that he does not have to live in that children's home. And that was Isaiah's story.
Wow. And you did adopt Isaiah.
Well, we had permanent legal guardianship. So I'll just to make sure, because his last name did not change to ours. So we ended up having permanent legal guardianship. He's able to maintain a relationship with his biological siblings and family, and that
wonderful.
Was important to him. So we honored that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is wonderful. So that makes three teen boys in 24 months, I believe.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so when we relinquished control, we really did that big.
Yeah. Go big or go home, right?
Go big or go home.
Well, with all those boys, you deserved a girl. And what led you, Michelle, to bring Olivia home from China?
Sure. You know, we I will say we lived a long time in boy mom land because having three teenage boys who are all athletic meant for years our life was devoted to all things boy and bringing up boys into what we hoped would be young men after God's heart. And so as we began, of course, as they come into your home older, they're obviously then heading out of your home a little faster and a little earlier. So as we got our top two boys, Isaiah and Ryan, sort of transitioned out and on the path to adulthood, that sort of finally opened up for us a space to begin to say, are we finished here? And I think collectively, John and I both knew that no, there was no way that we were finished. In truth, we'd only been parents at that point about 7 years. So, you know, we knew that we wanted to adopt. And I had felt back in 2006 when I went to China, I genuinely felt the Lord sort of deposit in me this promise of a daughter from China. And I didn't know if maybe I dreamed that or assumed something from the Lord, but I had felt like that was always there. I felt like God would lead me back to China eventually, and he did, and that ultimately is, of course, where Olivia is from, and she's been home about 2.5 years at this point.
Wonderful. So we talked a lot about hosting, and you serve with Project 143, which is a hosting program. So tell us a little bit about Project 143 and how hosting works.
Sure. You know, hosting is a really interesting aspect of orphan care ministry that not a lot of people know about. And, you know, the idea is if you want to minister to international orphans, you have very limited options there. You can do sponsorship where, of course, you can write letters. You can go on an international mission trip. Of course, not everybody's able to leave their home for a week or 2 weeks at a time and sort of get out of work and life in general. Hosting is basically the mission trip that's coming here, the mission trip you take without leaving your home. It's bringing those same international orphans from those orphanages into our home for 4 to 6 weeks in the summer or at Christmas time. We do that twice a year. And it is nationwide, so families are doing this from Alaska to Florida. And what ultimately it's doing for this child is it's showing them functional family. Most of these children have never seen a model of family that works. Notice I didn't say it's perfect, just
right.
Works. You know, it gives them self-esteem. The idea that a 14-year-old orphan who is ostracized in their community overseas was chosen to visit a family in America, that is huge. That's huge for their self-esteem. It improves their English skills or builds on their English skills. A lot of these kids are beginning to learn English. And, of course, being immersed in the language is going to help them tremendously. Mm. It's respite for them. You can imagine a summer or a Christmas in the orphanage is fairly bleak. This is an opportunity for genuine respite to build childhood memory. And, of course, we know as the host parent, it gets them access to dental care and eye care that they also don't typically get. There's some kids who are behind in school simply because they don't have a well-fitted, correct set of eyeglasses. And that's relatively easy for us to get for them here and send back with them.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, hosting is advocacy for the 1%. These kids, same as I talked about at the start of the program, the kids that are older than the age of 6, the kids that have a special need, the kids that are part of a sibling set, they have about a 1% shot of adoption. Virtually no one is going into a traditional international adoption looking for those groups of kids. But they come for hosting. We get to know them. We get to know their strengths, their challenges, their goals, their dreams. And all of a sudden, you take a child whose folder no one would look at, and you have a beautiful new picture of this 12-year-old boy. And that is something that you can really work with when you begin to talk to families about, hey, I've met this amazing kid. He's been in my home for 4 weeks. Let me tell you about him.
Hmm.
And so suddenly a kid who had 1% shot of ever potentially finding a forever family can leap to like an 80% shot of matching with a forever family. So it genuinely takes a group of children who have no shot, just no shot, and gives them their opportunity in the spotlight.
I love that. I love that. So our listeners can learn more about Project 143 by visiting the website, which is p143.org. And I know you're also, there's a very active Facebook page and probably Instagram, I assume.
Yes, because we're still matching for summer. So any families that even still wanted to consider hosting this summer, we still have a group of kids that we're still trying to match for summer. So p143.org, absolutely. P143 host on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Wonderful. So there's some kids who need some families for 4 weeks over this summer.
Yes.
And even again, you do it again around Christmas time for about 4 weeks. And this is every year. So I encourage our listeners to be praying and really seeing if this is something that the Lord would have you to do. So now another hat that you wear is the National Director for Orphan Sunday. And Orphan Sunday is an initiative of Christian Alliance for Orphans. It is one day that the church can stand with one voice for one purpose, to defend the cause of the fatherless. Orphan Sunday is an annual event, the second Sunday of November. So that makes this year, Michelle, November 11th, correct?
Correct.
And we want our listeners to get Orphan Sunday on your church calendar. So let's talk how did you first get involved with Orphan Sunday, Michelle?
You know, I first got involved with Orphan Sunday. Of course, I had heard about it for several years. But in the more recent past, a group of families from our church that covered a lot of the groups of orphan care. We have adopted families and foster families. We had respite families. Goodness, we had some CASA workers. We had some folks that worked in our local children's home. All those people kind of came together and said, what else can we do? We know about the needs. We know about the orphan crisis, and God has burdened our heart for it. How can we tell others? And so one of the first things we did is we all came together first in our churches, then we went forward and said, here are some ideas we have that we're willing to support, that we're willing to work. You know, we weren't those people who said, hey, we want you to do something. We were saying, we want to do something, and here's how we're, you know, willing to do the work to do it. And Orphan Sunday was one of those aspects. And we absolutely wanted to go ahead and get on our church calendar Orphan Sunday and begin the planning process for how can we use that day to educate our church further about the needs of the orphan beyond adoption, beyond foster care, because those are the two big things we talk about a lot, and they're tremendous things, but to tell more people there are so many other ways that you can get involved in caring for children. So we really wanted to use Orphan Sunday as a day to educate mm-hmm. our congregation in the many, many ways that they can be involved with the life of the child.
So what did your Orphan Sunday look like that very first time?
Sure. Our Orphan Sunday, the very first time that we did it that year, those same families, it was really, really a beautiful picture on our stage in our sanctuary. The same families came together. We all got similar T-shirts that said adopted and then had a scripture verse listed underneath it. We involved our worship team, our tech team, our band. We involved all of them, and there came a point in the service. Of course, we had worship songs. Our worship pastor at the time was great, picking out worship songs that aligned with God's heart for the orphan. And then there was a particular song where we ran a video, Children of God, Third Days, Children of God, mm-hmm. and all of the families sort of descended on the stage. And even the people who were on the stage, our band, our worship singers, they all had the shirts on. They just happened to have them, for instance, under a cardigan or under a button-down shirt. And so all of us at the same time sort of revealed those shirts, and then the families kind of descended on the stage. And in one sort of magnificent, glorious picture, we were showing, just as you began the program, we are all adopted. You know, that the picture we most want to present to everyone is that adoption is the root of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, you know, has given us this free gift of relationship with Him. And so ultimately, when we talk about adoption, foster care, orphan care ministry, we're mirroring the gospel in that we're saying we have all of these vulnerable people out there who ultimately we know, yes, we want them to have family, but ultimately we want them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we were standing on stage, kind of standing in the gap for them to say, we've all been adopted into the family of Christ. Let's make sure we're doing all that we can to extend that gift to everyone we can, internationally, globally, domestically, locally in our community.
I love that. So Orphan Sunday is the perfect way to begin the conversation in our congregations about the orphan, about adoption, foster care, really sharing God's heart for the orphan and how we've all been adopted. It's a wonderful way, as you said, Michelle, to educate our folks. So our listeners can learn more about Orphan Sunday by visiting the website orphansunday.org. And again, get it on your church calendar. This year, it is November 11th. So, Michelle, as we wrap up today, what is on your heart that you want our listeners to hear? What do you want them to take away from our conversation today?
Sure. You know, the biggest thing for me is that it's for everyone to understand that the orphan care crisis, whether it's local in my county, whether it's global and nations I've yet to visit, it's not going to be solved by one single aspect of orphan and vulnerable child care ministry. It's going to take everyone. It takes families interested in adoption. It takes families interested in foster care. It takes hosting. It takes respite. It takes guardianship, CASA. It takes those people willing to mentor children in the local children's home. It takes those people willing to go on those short-term mission trips into international orphanages. It takes all of that, ultimately, to really begin to see the inner workings of orphan care and begin to see that aspect of ministry for what it is. And it's one where literally everyone, from children through senior adults, can play a part in a vulnerable child's life. And so that's the big thing. I think it's just that ultimately that we don't all work against each other. We need every single aspect of vulnerable child ministry working together. If we're going to, as I said earlier, if we're going to get to the root in this lifetime of those children having families, but ultimately, eternally, those families getting to know, those children getting to know Christ and having an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, because like you said, this is a huge crisis. There's a national foster care crisis. So there's a great need here at home. And there is a global orphan crisis. So there is a great need overseas. And God, you know, God calls us to different places. Our contribution isn't all going to be the same. There's something for everyone to do, and it's going to be a unique calling that God gives each family, each individual, each church, but we have to be willing to say yes and step right into it.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I love that. Michelle, thank you for all that you're doing on behalf of the orphan and for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandra. I'm delighted.
Oh, it was an honor. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today as well and for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as our podcast by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. I am Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God is calling you to do that. It may be adoption, foster care, orphan care, ministry. So to learn more or to contact me to speak at your church or event, visit our website again. That is justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.